like to introduce our speaker. His name is Adi Zamani. He's from the University of New Mexico. And he will be telling us, he'll be presenting a towards provably secure, scalable anonymous broadcast.
All right. This is a joint work with Jared Sayah, Manush Mohadi, and Jude Khoury. And I thank all of them in helping me with this in this project. I start by a definition of anonymity. Anonymity enables freedom of speech, and it helps people that they can talk without risk of bad consequences that their speech may bring. Political discussions, especially, can result in torture, imprisonment, and death of people. So this is why in this research we focus on theoretical guarantees, because people's lives are in danger. So it's important to prove that we can help them and protect them. Our goal is to provide a provable, anonymous, and fully decentralized broadcast protocol. And this research is motivated by a 10-year vision of implementing a fully decentralized version of Twitter, and that version is supposed to be anonymous. Here's our model and all the assumptions that we have in this work. We assume that there are N parties, all of which are connected with private channels, so there is an all-to-all communication. And up to a third fraction of parties are bad. By bad, I mean that those bad nodes are controlled by a Byzantine or active adversary. And so the adversary can change the nodes in any arbitrary way. So this is probably the most powerful threat model that we have. And we assume the rest are all good. We also assume that the adversary is static, meaning that it should take over the set of all bad players at the beginning of the protocol. And finally, we assume that the communication is synchronous. Here's a more formal definition of the problem that we are interested in this research. We assume that every party has a message to broadcast, and our goals are that first all parties broadcast will receive the messages that are broadcast, and no set of parties can do better than uniform guessing of the actual senders of those messages. This slide shows our main results compared to the best known protocol for this exact model. The model is the state of the art for this set of assumptions is the Golle and Jewels 2004. Their protocol sends O of N bits per player per anonymous bit, and they have a constant latency, and their protocol is cryptographic in nature. On the other hand, our algorithm sends soft O of one. That soft O is a variation of big O, which hides the logarithmic factors from the complexity. So our protocol sends soft O of one bits per player per anonymous bit, and we get that good and efficient late bandwidth cost by trading off latency, and the cost is O of log n latency. And also the probability that a party's message is broadcast in our model is 1 minus 1 over k, where k is a parameter of our algorithm. And our algorithm is unconditionally secure, so we don't make any cryptographic hardness assumption in our model. We built on top of secure multi-party computation, so it's needed to define that first. In MPC, MPC stands for multi-party computation, each party knows a global function and a private input. And the goal is that all of the parties learn the output of the function over the set of inputs, private inputs, and the inputs are kept private throughout our protocol. So nobody should learn anything about the input than what is revealed by the output of the function. David Chaum in 1988 proposed DCNets, Dynamic Cryptographers Network. In original DCNets, one party has an input M and remaining have input zero. The algorithm uses MPC to compute a simple sum over the inputs. And at the final stage of MPC, all parties learn the message M, while the sender identity remains hidden, because the output of the function, which is sum of the all inputs, is M, and nobody knows where that message is coming from. There are certain pros and cons for this protocol. The maybe best aspect of DCNet is that it's secure against traffic analysis. But it actually has its own cost. First of all, it's vulnerable to jamming attacks, and it has poor scalability. The jamming attack in DCNet happens when more than one party sends a non-zero input. And so you see that the computation will not result in the correct message. Our protocol uses a circuit. So in this research, we propose a circuit that enables anonymous broadcast with jam detection. So we want to solve the jamming problem that exists in DCNets. We propose a solution using virtual channels. So each player in our protocol has certain number of channels, chooses a certain number of channels, and sends its input to one of these channels. I will, in later slides, I will show how this will be done. But for now, assume that we have a few channels for each party and a circuit. And then we use a scalable MPC scheme that was recently proposed by Danny, King, Mowahedi, and Seya in 2012 to securely evaluate that circuit. And as I told you before, we trade off latency to decrease bandwidth cost. And this latency is because our circuit is of depth log n. DKMS 2012 is based on the notion of quorums. A quorum is a set of log n parties, and in which two-thirds fraction of the parties are assumed to be good. And each gate in the circuit that is going to do the computation is mapped to a quorum. And that quorum computes the gate securely. There are certain protocols like KLSD 2010 that provide distributed quorum creation that ensures that two first goals are valid for the set of quorums that are created. We denote each quorum in the next slide by a circuit with a set of inputs and a set of outputs. And each gate, so it's going to be computed by a quorum. Here's the circuit that we propose. These P1 to PN are the set of players, N players. Each of these red circles shows one of the channels, virtual channels, that is associated with that party. And then we have a black box that I will talk about that in detail later, which is called jam detector. And if the output of this jam detector is one, then it means that this guy is sending more than one non-zero input to the circuit. So it means that the next level, all those blue gates, will zero out the input that is sent by that player. And whenever the output of just this jam detector, all of these links are zero, it means that there is no jamming. There is no deviation from the protocol. So this player is just sending one input up. So these are the virtual channels. And if all the links after jam detector are if more than one channel is used to send an input, then the outputs are zero, otherwise that's one. And then those blue gates will just zero out the input if there isn't a jamming. This slide shows the detail of that black box jam detection. It consists of several gates that the first gates here, there is a binary tree that counts the number of non-zero inputs. And then it returns, the first binary tree returns zero if no channel is used, and one if one channel is used, and two otherwise. You see that the case that there is a jamming is the last case, if the player sends more than one non-zero input up. Here's an analysis of the work. Let R be the number of virtual channels. And based on the work by DKMS 2012, each party sends soft O of R plus square root of N over N bits for sending one anonymous bit. And in order to keep the probability of collision in our protocol small, we need to choose that K, that parameter, as large as possible, at sufficiently large. And however, note that if we, in this work, for simplicity, we assume that K is constant. But the user of this protocol can choose K to be O of N. However, the complexity of our algorithm will increase. But for example, for K like 5, we get a sufficiently good probability of parties sending their messages. And finally, the analysis shows that each party sends soft O of bond bits per anonymous bit. We did an implementation of our protocol. The implementation is a cryptographic version of our algorithm. The red line shows the result of this paper. The blue line shows the ongoing work, the most recent result that we actually got after all the improvements that we made after submitting to FOCI. And the green line shows the GNJ 2004, which is the best known work for this set of assumptions that we have in this model. As you see, the complexity of the green line is completely different from the two work that we have. And I need to mention that red line also converges to a constant number like the blue line it converges to a constant line after only very, very small set of players. Here the x-axis shows the log of number of players. So in the next slide, you can see.
So what's the base of the logarithm? Is it log 2?
Log 2, yes. In this actually slide, it shows, for example, for 2 to the 25th number of players, which is around 33 million nodes. The reason that I chose this number is because it's only 5% of Twitter users. And we assume that, okay, in Twitter, it's reasonable that only 5% of parties are interested to send their messages anonymously. For that case, this paper, the result that we had a couple of months ago, resulted in a very, very large number of bits sent for each anonymous bit sent in the protocol. But our recent improvements shows that we can reduce that to 2 megabytes. And for the green line, for 33 million nodes, it's about 2 gigabytes of data per node per anonymous bit sent, which is very huge. So I presented an anonymous broadcast protocol that we proposed in this research against a powerful adversary. It's asymptotically efficient. It reduces bandwidth cost by a factor of n. It increases latency, however, by a factor of log n. And at the same time, we proved that no coalition of parties can do better than uniform guessing. So we guarantee that the adversary cannot track the sender, the message to its actual sender. We have a lot of future work in our mind, as the open problems because we have a 10-year vision. And since you see that even megabytes of data, the current result that we have, 2 megabytes, is still very high because that's just for sending one anonymous bit. However, we are interested to see that if we can use other methods to decrease this cost by at least three orders of magnitude. So we assume something around kilobytes of data for sending one anonymous bit is reasonable, but megabytes or not is not. One way is to use cryptographic methods. Especially the recent achievements in fully homomorphic encryption gives us some hope to decrease the cost of MPC algorithm. And we are interested also to use threshold cryptography for Byzantine agreement. This Byzantine agreement is a very important black box in our MPC algorithm. And also we are interested to see how much blacklisting bad parties will help us, because after a while, the address, since the network is statically controlled by the adversary, we can detect the set of bad nodes and blacklist them from the network. Moreover, our model, the set of assumptions that we have were defined 25 years ago by David Chung. And it has been a long, actually, time after that modern networks today are more dynamic and flexible. So we're interested to see if our model can be adapted to these hard situations that the adversary is adaptive and the network is dynamic, and still give the same theoretical guarantees that we get. And also, we're interested to consider the asynchronous communication scheme model and an adaptive adversary, an adversary that chooses the set of bad parties during the protocol run, during the rounds of protocol, not at the beginning. And also churn, because in modern networks, nodes join and leave. So it would be quite interesting to see if we can give the same guarantees in that situation. And thank you for listening. Any questions?
So I asked you when you talked about quorum groups. You said that there's log n members in each group, but only a third of them can be bad.
Right.
If a third of the nodes are bad and each node is in three groups, why can't all of them be bad?
Okay. The third fraction of bad parties in each quorum is exactly the same fraction of bad players in the entire set of players. And the work by KLST 2010 shows that you can choose those set of quorums, any number of those set of quorums, and at the same time making sure that in each quorum only a third fraction are bad, with the same.
So a bad quorum contains more than a third.
Exactly.
It's not any bad ones.
No, it's not.
Right.
But a good quorum is a quorum that has a third, at most a third of the players in that quorum to be bad. Other questions? Yes.
I guess I'd like to hear a little more about the assumption that only a third are bad. What is the justification for that? Is it just that it doesn't work if you don't assume that?
Yes, we can't make the theoretical guarantees then. With that assumption, we need that to prove our anonymity and the security of our algorithm. So if you change that assumption, or for example, increase the set of the fraction of bad players, no, we cannot guarantee that our algorithm will provide anonymity. So does that answer your question?
Yeah, I guess it does.
So that's something very, very essential for our protocol. We need it. We actually tuned that number in our proof in order to prove our claims, because we're claiming that our algorithm works with the constraint that the set of bad parties won't actually exceed a third fraction of the entire set of players.
But how the result of the theoretical guarantee is undermined by the practical
Yes, it's interesting to consider that, but since our basic goal was to prove and provide theoretical guarantees, but for a more practical version of our algorithm, yes, that might be possible. But remember that there won't be any guarantee on the anonymity of our protocol. Yeah.
So is there a theoretical minimum to how efficiently you could do an anonymous broadcast? Like, is there like a floor, like you couldn't go below that in terms of information theory or something?
Okay, yeah. We can prove that there is a lower bound for the cost associated with any protocol in this model. And that's clear that that's O of one bit per player and per anonymous bit. But the protocol that we proposed here is soft O of one. And this soft O of one means like O of log to the C, to a constant. For example, assume like O of log to the fifth, for example. So it's possible, it might be possible to even make that result better and make it closer to O of one bit. But currently, we're not aware of any other work that can be better than this result with the same set of assumptions. Yes?
I guess my question is about your 10-year vision. You want to have this decentralized, anonymous Twitter. I'm trying to imagine, like, what would that look like? Would that sort of be like 4chan? Would it be run by trolls? Would it be like entirely goat sex? I mean, like, what would this look like if people started joining it and using it?
My perspective of this one application of this work is that, okay, in Twitter, there is an option that you can choose to send that tweet anonymously or no, just like today. And in terms of the architecture of the network, we assume that we can use this network as an overlay network on top of the internet, and which there is a peer-to-peer overlay network, and each node knows the address of all the other nodes in the network. And in terms of the application, there are many incentives that users are interested to use such application, because in many countries there is a big risk, you know, if you talk about political discussions, and this is very, very important for people in those countries. Does that answer your question, or?
Sure.
Yeah.
Is there anything stopping me as like the government joining your network and just blocking everyone on it?
No. As long as that fraction of nodes that you control as the adversary, as the government, will not exceed a third fraction of the parties, yes, that's fine. You can join the network, you can corrupt any node in our network, because in any way, you can even eavesdrop all the communication that is done, is made between the nodes.
I can stop people in my country from using it.
Yes, of course. This is a problem that even happens with other anti-censorship networks like Tor. Yes, you can do that, and that's not something that we can deal with. As long as that set is less than a third fraction, yes, you can do that. But if that's more than that, there won't be any guarantee. It's actually a different model than our protocol.
Okay, why don't we have our second speaker set up, and maybe have one more question. If not, let's thank our speaker.
Thank you.